Today on The Journey with Steve DeWitt, a message about our inheritance in Christ.
For the Christian, all is ours. Life and death, the world, today, the future, it is all ours because we are Christ. Christ owns everything, and he owns us as well, and he chooses to give us what he owns.
Are you feeling lost in a world that values fleeting success and worldly wisdom? Well, today on The Journey, Pastor Steve DeWitt highlights the powerful truth of our identity in Christ. We're exploring how, as God's dwelling place, we possess all things because we belong to Him. It's the final part of a message about how to live boldly as an heir of God's promises. To hear part one, visit us online at thejourney.fm. And now to get us started, here's Pastor Steve with a message titled, All is Ours.
How many of us come to this moment or come to a gathering of Christians, whether it be a prayer meeting or a small group or some other thing, and realize what's going on? That the very presence through the Spirit of Almighty God is here, dwelling amongst us. Think of it right now. This is going on. God's Spirit is here. Somebody here came in here with some kind of a burden. And now we've opened God's word and we've read his word that is inspired. And somehow just the reality of a God and a revealed word is working in somebody's heart right now in this room somewhere to encourage the person who has the burden. And there's somebody else who comes in here today and you have a bondage to sin or something that you've done and you're feeling guilt and you're wondering what you should do or whether you should do anything. And God's Spirit through his word and amongst his people is encouraging you to deal with that sin and maybe bringing conviction, but also the promise of grace and forgiveness. And so you're wrestling with that right now. God's Spirit is at work. And somebody else comes in here with, you bring in some other relational issue, whatever it is, but God's word now in his Spirit dwelling amongst his people is doing his work. And that happens whenever God's people get together. If we had eyes to see what is really happening here, we'd recognize that this is a sacred and a holy place. Why? Because of the building or us? No, God's here. He's here. And so Paul writes to the Corinthians and he's like, don't you realize who you are? You are a treasure to God. You are the dwelling place of the presence of God in this world. It is not in the temple to Diana or the temple to some other God. You are God's temple on this earth. You're it. Wow. If only we had eyes to see, we would realize what is going on. And of course, Paul had eyes. He knew who they were. And in writing this, he's just like incredulous that the Christians would treat something that is so sacred, the church, as so common. And how were they doing that? They were doing that by the way that they were treating one another. Because the church is sacred to God and precious to God, if you mess around with his church, God is going to mess around with you. And you do not want to be on the wrong side of God. Friends, listen, the church is sacred, and God loves it, and his eye is upon us. And when he sees people that are doing damage to the body of Christ, whether in their attitude or their laziness or in some way being destructive to relationships or whatever it is, he now, because he treasures the church, says, I am going to mess around with you. So Paul now, as he develops this thought, this comes right on the heels of the judgment seat of Christ in verses 10 through 15, emphasizing the fact that the church is the temple of God on earth because God dwells here. It is sacred to God. Don't mess with it. Now he moves to a theme that he's been developing beginning in chapter 1 and the whole thing of wisdom and the fact that God turns human wisdom upside down, inside out, backwards, however you want to say it. But here's what he says, verse 18, let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you thinks that he is wise in this age, Let him become a fool that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is folly with God. For it is written, he catches the wise in their craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are futile. So let no one boast in men. For anyone to become wise, they must do what is counterintuitive to the natural man. Humble yourself. Which he says in verse 18, become a fool. So that in the gospel, I may surrender myself to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and become wise, which is ultimately salvation. Our lives, humanly speaking, we think they're significant. Here we are, we live according to these different things, but in the end, we die. And it doesn't matter who we were or who we are, in the end, it is futile. None of us can outwit God or outlast God. We all, in the end, we're all dead. God always wins. I told you sometime, I don't remember how long ago, I told you the story of how I was in California and I really wanted to see Ronald Reagan's presidential library. And I drove, and I got there after they had closed, but I tried to sneak in by checking all the doors, and all the doors were locked, and I'm standing on the backside of the facility there, and a guard comes out and says, "What are you doing?" And we've been watching you on the cameras, and I said, "I'm just trying to get in. I leave in the morning." And so he says, "Well, tough luck." And so 10 minutes later, though, he opens the door again, and he says, "Hey, you know what? I'd hate for you to think Californians don't have hospitality once you come in." And he gave me a personal tour of Ronald Reagan's library. It was really great. I've told you that story before. But as I was waiting for him, here's the point I was going to make. As I was waiting for him, I was standing there, and this has been some years ago now, I was standing there, and here they have the plot where they're going to bury him. I mean, he's president of the United States, and they already have the spot. Okay, when he dies, we'll put him here. Sort of depressing, isn't it? But this is the reality of our existence. You have a spot waiting for you too. And so we can think that all the things that we're doing and all of our accomplishments and doing this and that, in the end, humanly speaking, is going to be significant, but in the end, it's not. And this is the bane of our existence. We want to think that our lives matter, but humanly speaking, the wisdom and the accomplishments humanly amount to nothing. In the end, God's wisdom is what always wins. And I know you're like, man, I came here to church. I wanted to get a good word, something, encouragement. You're going to die. And this is the testimony of history, that we try to maneuver and we try to out-scheme God and all that, but in the end, we can't. Think of Scripture. Think of Pharaoh. Pharaoh, powerful man, matches wits with God. What happens to him? His army's floating in the Red Sea, right? Think about, I love the story of in Esther of Haman. And Haman wanted to destroy God's people, the Jews. And so there was one of them, Mordecai, that he really, really, really hated. And so one day he builds the gallows to hang Mordecai on him. And on that very day, he's hung on gallows of his own making. Twist, right? I'm going to win against God. No, you're not. No, you're not. Think about the religious leaders. Truly, the religious leaders who said, this Jesus of Nazareth, he's driving us nuts. He's drawing people away from us. We're losing our prestige. He's saying things against us. We're going to get him. We are going to get him. He thinks he's the Son of God. No way. And they killed him. And they unwittingly made him Savior and Lord of all. Think about Satan. All these millennia trying to destroy the work of God, trying to destroy God's people. And everything he does fulfills the purposes of God. Satan, as Luther said, the devil is God's devil. Satan is a frustrated devil. And then here we have us here today. And you might be here today and think, well, I can kind of play games with God. Like you might be here today and you've got the mask on, you know, you've got your Christian outfit on or your Christian sort of appearance on. But inside there are secrets and there are things that you're holding and you're thinking, I can kind of beat the system. I can kind of beat God. I can have it both ways. No, you can't. God knows our secrets. He knows our games. He holds all the cards. People try to make deals with God. God, you do this, I'll do this for you. He holds all the cards. There's no deal making with God. Why not simply surrender my heart and my life and my future to the good purposes of a God who has promised that he will never leave me or forsake me, and he intends good for me all of my life, and showed that in the person of Jesus Christ? That's a much better way to go, don't you think? Absolutely. So the bottom line then for Paul here is, you people, you think wise men are where it's at. You're wanting to trust in these guys. He says in verse 21, don't boast in men. Don't boast in men. It is so easy for us to want to put our trust in somebody, to think this is the guy or this is the girl, and to put them on a pedestal and to think they're the ones, they're really where it's at. And we have seen a time and time again that in the end, it doesn't matter. They looked at Paul and they heard of his vision of Jesus and they heard his teaching and his wisdom and they saw the miracles perhaps that he did at Corinth and they said, this is the guy that I am going to say is the man. This is the guy I'm going to put my trust in. And others said, no, but Peter was there. Paul wasn't there. Paul didn't walk on water. Paul wasn't at the Mount of Transfiguration. I really think Peter's the guy. I'm going to put my hope and my trust in Peter. This guy's really great. Others are like, well, what about Apollos? Apollos, he's mighty in word and knew the scriptures. He was a great speaker, and the Corinthians love great speakers. They're like, I think Apollos, you know, Peter was there, and Paul and all that, but Apollos, man, he's the new guy. He's the young guy. Those guys are old. They're out of date. I want to go with the fresh thing. I'm going with Apollos. And they get this whole rancor thing going because they're putting their hopes in men who are going to die. And Paul writes to them and says, what are you doing? Don't put your hope in men. There is no purpose and there is no future. And why should we not do that? Here is why. Verse 21. For all things are yours. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or the present or the future, all are yours. And you are Christ, and Christ is God. God's. All is ours because we are Christ and Christ and all is his. This is the crescendo. This is the doxology where Paul just kind of lays it out. The Corinthian Christians, they had it entirely backwards. They thought that they belonged to the leader. And Paul says, you don't belong to the leader. The leader belongs to you. You don't belong to Paul. Paul belongs to you. You don't belong to Peter. Peter belongs to you. Why? Because they are merely workers in the field, he says previously. They're just your servants. You don't belong to them. You belong to Christ. And whenever people get that backwards, it creates havoc in a local congregation. Ever heard of a church splitting? If you've been around Christian circles very long, you certainly have. What's going on when that happens? Write it down. Somewhere along the way, somebody forgot who belonged to who. You ever hear people say something like this? This is my church. What? Wait a second. Did you purchase it with your blood? Because when I read the scriptures, I think this is Christ's church. Because he bought it with his own precious blood. What do you mean this is my church? It's not your church. You belong to the church. Don't get that backwards. Like here, this is not the pastoral staff's church. This is not my church. This is Christ's church. I belong to you. The pastors, they belong to you. The elders, they belong to you. You are Christ's possession. And boy, we have got to keep that in mind because when we get it backwards, there is tons of pain that comes to a church when we don't realize who is who and who belongs to who. And so Paul now is writing and he wants to set their thinking aright. Let's make sure who belongs to who. Paul belongs to the church. Peter belongs to the church. In fact, everything is yours, he says in verse 21. All things are yours. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or the present or the future, all things are yours. And I can say that to you, Christian, here today. All things are yours. Now you're sitting here going, sure doesn't feel like it. No, the world is yours. You're like, I don't even own my house. What are you talking about? Well, the answer to this is the very next phrase. All is yours, and you are Christ. You are Christ. And you see, now this is how it works. These things belong to us because we belong to him. And since everything belongs to him, it belongs to us as well. Did you get that? All is ours because we are Christ's. And since everything is his, it's ours too. Christ owns everything. And he owns us as well. And he chooses to give us what he owns. Let me show you. Hebrews 1, verse 2 says this. In these last days, he has spoken to us by his son, whom he appointed heir of all things. Christ owns everything. Christ is the possessor of everything. And out of his love and mercy, Romans 8 says this, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ. We are co-heirs with the one who has everything, which means that he shares all of these things with us, which means that they're ours. That's why Paul can say, everything is yours. The world. Matthew 28, all authority in heaven and earth has been given unto me, Jesus said. The world is Christ, which means that it is ours as well. Life. Life is ours. Why? Because Jesus is the one who distributes eternal life. So that we now presently today experience eternal life. Life is ours. Life is yours, Christian. It may not feel like it, but it is. Life is yours. Death. Christ conquered death in his resurrection. He owns it. It's like, that's mine. That is mine. Which means now death is ours as well, in the sense that we don't have to fear it. We don't have to fear it. Today is Christ. Tomorrow is Christ. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. He is the first and the last. He possesses all of time and all of the future. And he gives it to us as well. The future is ours. What can I say to you when something in your life seems to be saying that you're about to lose something? Like the man who was sitting right here in the front row at the last service who told me today that he lost his job for 6 months and he's got more kids than I can count. What do you say to somebody like that? What do you say when somebody discovers that they have a disease or cancer, something that is threatening their life, they're a Christian, and it seems like there is about to be a major loss? What do you say? You say what Paul is saying here. That for the Christian, in spite of the present circumstances, there is no losing because in Christ, all is ours. We are his possession, and because everything is his, it's all ours as well. So that our today and our tomorrow, our future, all of it is our possession in Christ. We belong to him. And this is a tremendous comfort. I just so badly want you to get this morning. I spent time this week with the Elo family. And we've been praying and praying and praying for the Elos. And Kent, one of our deacons, beloved by us, has been fighting brain cancer. And it's rough right now. Really rough. What do you say? Or what truth do you bring to bear upon your heart and your mind when it would seem that losing is imminent? What do you say? You say what Paul is saying here, that for the Christian, all is ours. Life and death, the world, today, the future, it is all ours, because we are Christ. And this, in the end, is what brings significance for the Christian in this life and hope in the next. That these accomplishments, that the world, that's all they got, that we have today and we have tomorrow. And all of this has been accomplished because of the one that we belong to. Therefore, do not put your hope and trust and lift up high a man who, humanly speaking, amounts to nothing. For the Christian, the one that is lifted high and our hope and our trust in is Christ, who has made all of this possible. And so when the church or when God's people forget who they are and forget the way this is supposed to be, it creates all kinds of spiritual havoc within the church and within our hearts. And Paul's like, don't you get it? Don't you realize who you are? And don't you realize whose you are? You are his. And friends, this is what we need. What do we need here at Bethel? Well, we'd love to have more square footage. We'd love to, you know, have more small groups. We'd love to have more people involved in ministry. We'd love to have this, that, and the other. You know what we really need? We need to remember who we are and whose we are. And to realize that because of whose we are, what we have everything because of Christ. And to me, this is both the glory and the humility of it. It is our glory because of who we are in him, and he is Lord of all. It is humility because we've done nothing for it. Nothing. And someday when we realize all that we have in Christ, because we don't get it right now, but someday when we do, we are going to be overwhelmed with the reality that we have done nothing for this. It is all of God, and it is all of his grace, and it is all of his mercy as he bestows upon rebels and sinners like us the very inheritance of his Son. We are co-heirs with Christ. And this is nothing that we walk out of here all proud of ourselves. It is humbling, don't you think? I wish that we could produce tears on this point. It is humbling to us, and it must be, that God has bestowed all of these things upon us. Why? To magnify his love and to glorify his grace and to display to us and to all the world the wonder of his mercy. He has done this for us and for his glory. We are the possession of Christ. We belong to him. So why boast in a man? Why say this is the guy or this is the woman where it's at? Oh boy, they're really, aren't they cool? Aren't they exciting? Why? They amount to nothing, but Christ is everything. So never boast in a man, never boast in a woman, but all boasting and praise be to the one who gave himself in the cross and with that gave us everything else as well.
May we give all honor and praise to the one who selflessly gave. You're listening to The Journey with Steve DeWitt and the conclusion of a message called All Is Ours. You can revisit the complete message online at thejourney.fm. Well, I want to take a moment to extend a genuine thank you to all our dedicated listeners and monthly supporters who give so generously to keep The Journey on the air. Your faithful support enables us to spread the message of God's Word far and wide, reaching people across the nation through radio and online platforms. Your generosity allows us to meet people right where they are on their individual journeys of faith. And by giving a generous gift, whether it's a one-time donation or a monthly commitment, you play a crucial role in ensuring that the clear biblical teaching on The Journey continues to impact lives throughout the year. Will you partner with us today? Call 844-7-JOURNEY. That's 844-756-8763. Or visit us online at thejourney.fm. As a thank you for your gift, we'll send you a brand new book titled Loneliness by our very own Pastor Steve DeWitt. In a time when loneliness is at an all-time high, this book, rich with biblical truth and practical help, speaks to hearts in all walks of life. Pastor Steve explores the invitation of Jesus when our hearts feel alone and isolated. Writing on topics that affect us and the ones we love, such as loneliness and the gospel, loneliness and singleness, loneliness and marriage, and loneliness and leadership, he shows us the way out of our pain and into relational flourishing with God and others. Request a copy for yourself, a family member, or a friend. Again, you can do so by calling 844-7-JOURNEY. That's 844-756-8763. Or visit thejourney.fm. I'm Tim Svoboda, inviting you to join us tomorrow when Pastor Steve begins a new message called An Audience of One. That's Wednesday on The Journey. Today's program was produced and furnished by Bethel Church in Crown Point, Indiana.